Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, my next guest is one of the, let's say, ballsiest guys I've ever met in my life, because not only does he have the skills and artistic talent to make all the biggest rides in America look as ridey as they do. Let's talk about that for a second. We have, just to name a few, Ashley Graham and Bella Hadid and Kim and Courtney and the rest of the Kardashians and the Jenners. He helps them all look their best. He also has the confidence to do the momager, Kris Jenner, and she'd kill you. You know, so I have to talk to this guy. It's Dublin's own Andrew Fitzsimons. How are you doing?
Good morning. Ballsy.
Yeah.
I'm ballsy. Okay.
You are.
I'll go with that.
Ballsy. Look how far you've come in your career. I mean, that takes some balls.
It takes balls. Yeah,
it does. Absolutely does. Yeah. We're going to get to all that in a second. But you're home in Ireland for a very special reason. Tell the nation why you're here.
Well, I'm lucky to have launched my own brand, Andrew Fitzsimons Hair, in Boots this year. I was incredibly honored to have won an award at the Image Business of Beauty Awards.
Good on you. My pal hosted that, Darren Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah.
He rocked up in a spacesuit.
Yeah, he came from outer space, apparently. Yeah.
It looks like a crazy event, but it's a prestigious event, and you won an award?
Yeah, yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It meant a lot because I'm obviously from Dublin. I started my career in hair in Dublin. I've moved all over the world, lived everywhere, and to be able to come home and be recognised at home means an awful lot, especially when it comes to the business part.
Yeah.
And as someone who's like, I left school at 13 to start hair. I've been doing hair for 22 years now. So to have such little education and be getting awards for business, I'll take it.
This is not a plug, right? But I just want to, he bought me a little goodie bag, but the texture spray.
Yeah, well, you know a little something
face.
About hair. I'm just,
I love
this. I'm devastated that I missed your launch by a week.
I know nothing about hair. I just pumped a lot of money into it. I have a business partner that knows what she's doing.
Well, luckily
but
you don't
I love
need...
the industry.
Yeah. Well, luckily you don't need to know a lot about hair. You just need to know about good products. And,
good products.
Yeah.
And we're going to sustainability angle. And there's, and I think one thing that really stood out to me is people miss the salon experience through when COVID happened, you know? And they really miss that. And it is an art. And,
Absolutely. You
know, and I go to these award ceremonies and the L'Oreal Color Trophy and the Image, and I see these people in a room and the talent is immense. And I want to talk about your talent because you left school at 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it just not for you?
It really wasn't for me. Honestly, that was the late 90s, early 2000s in Dublin. Very, very, very different landscape at the time.
Where in Dublin did you grow up, do you mind me asking?
I grew up around the Ballantyre, Rathfarnham areas.
That's your hood.
Yeah, okay. that's my hood. The family HQ is in Howth, but I grew up in the burbs. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to believe, 13 years old. But, you know, I was going to a Catholic rugby school, not the place to flourish as a homosexual. So I knew it wasn't for me. That environment wasn't for me. I felt smart. Like at 13, I felt smart enough to be able to go out into the world, into the workforce and start my career. I just knew that that kind of education wasn't for me. But I also knew that I was a curious person. I'd never want to stop learning. So, my mom and myself made a decision that, maybe it's best that I leave school and that I start working, because it just wasn't an environment for me to flourish in. But because it was an all-male environment, but going into a hair salon for the first time at 13 and not having to perform, just being able to be myself for the first time, really, really saved me. I kind of owe everything to my career.
And your mammy.
Yeah, I'm my mom.
Shout out to mammy.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
My first supporter.
In the 90s, for a mother to go, it's actually okay. She obviously saw something in you.
It wasn't very straightforward. We talked to a guidance counselor in school, and he basically said, he said, do you know what? There's kids leaving this school every year after leaving cert, not knowing what they want to do with their lives, and maybe they never will. Your child does know what he wants. My mom made me make a promise to her that I would get to the top of my field and that I wouldn't take any sick days. She didn't want me to leave school and then not go to work.
Yeah. Sure.
So in 22 years, I've taken two sick days And that was food poisoning, and it was The Exorcist. So I like that was beyond my control.
Wow!
And I tried to get to the top of my career.
But that's the thing: when you are self-employed, you have to be so focused and so dedicated.
Yeah.
I have to mention this to you because I know you're a big advocate for people in similar situations. But we've been talking about bullying on the show for the last 2 days. We had an amazing caller, Tom, who was talking about his experience. Uh-huh. Did hairdressing offer an escape for you? Because I know you mentioned before that. That it was a part of your life in school.
Yeah.
Did hairdressing help?
Yeah, it really did. For me, at the time, I knew I needed, unconsciously, I think I knew I needed a vehicle to get out of the situation that I was in, which was in an all-male environment. And I knew that it wasn't healthy for me because more than now, it was just very, very toxic. And, and there were toxic masculinity was the whole way. And that made me other. That made me another. That didn't make me a full person. So hair was, not only did I love hair and it allowed me to express myself and express my creativity, but also for the first time, be able to look someone in the eye and have my shoulders be relaxed and down. And be around other creatives and hairstylists. We're very, very special people. We're very strange people, but we're very, very special because we really dealt. We put our life into our craft, and we're very proud of what we do. And every hairstylist is also a therapist. Like if you imagine like a hard day's work of working in a hair salon, it's actual backbreaking work, but also the emotional toll it takes of being a sponge, because every client that comes in, they don't want to hear your problems. You become the vessel in which they are able to have their experience. And that's what we choose to do as hairstylists. So it did save me in a lot of ways. And then, but I also had to learn a lot of ways how to protect myself and keep myself safe,
okay.
And keep myself okay internally, because it does require a lot to give all of that energy out every day.
But you consistently do it, not just in your hairdressing, but you do a lot of work to try and help young people these days. Why does that matter to you so much?
Well, because to me, I wouldn't have got where I have been able to get to without support, and specifically from women. So even then at 13, being in that safe environment, I didn't take it for granted. And I made a decision, an agreement with myself that I would only ever try to support women, all women, including trans women and gender nonconforming people. So in LA, I have, I work with the Trans Wellness Center. I set up a program there about 5 years ago. And then it's actually really cool to be able to come back to Ireland and now start mentoring people and have young Irish people that I really, really believe in that need the advice, because I didn't necessarily always get the advice I needed in Ireland. I wanted to be able to go, okay, well, I want to be the biggest hairdresser in the world. I want this and what. And people were like, okay, sure. That'll happen now. Sure. I want to encourage young people, like, actually, you can do anything. Irish people, we're rebels. We get the job done, and we're very special people, and everybody loves us. So I there's so much talent and creativity in Ireland. I just want to let people know that the only barriers that are there are the ones that you impose on yourself. So once you take those barriers away, what is left? It's just your journey. So like to be able to come back here and talk to young people and see all the creativity and see what they can offer the world means a lot to me.
How is Ireland now for you? I mean, is it a very, you come back a fair bit considering you're so busy.
Yeah.
Is it a very different Ireland to, I mean, do you noticeably, is it noticeable to you? Do you see a different Ireland?
Yes, on the surface it is.
Okay.
On the surface it is. Like, I don't feel as scared walking down the street as a gay person.
Sure.
But there's still homophobic attacks all the time in Ireland. There's still racist attacks all the time in Ireland. It isn't necessarily the safest place for a lot of people. I do see things changing a lot, which is good. But the thing is, you can't become complacent because things look a certain way. And I think that there's a lot of issues that Irish people have had to go through, specifically people of colour and queer people, that have differentiated them from real Irish people, which is the kind of a weird mentality to have. If you're not this one thing, you're another. to rectify all of those things. Queer people in Ireland, we really went through the ringer, and there's been a lot of traumatizing experiences. And yes, it's great when you have something like marriage equality, but that serves only a couple of people. Are we talking about how queer people are employed, housed, and people of colour, how they're accepted into Irish society? Are there people of colour making the decisions with everybody else? Are there queer people making decisions?
Is there
decisions
visibility? Are they in media? Can we see them? Can we hear them?
Yeah,
you know, all of that.
All of that is extremely important. And it's extremely important for Ireland specifically, because I feel like we are the leaders in a lot of ways, because we were able to change from a very conservative country to a very liberal, rainbow, unicorn country in one generation. Yeah. That doesn't happen very often. So we're incredibly lucky, but we also have to do the work too. We can't go, okay, well, everything's solved now.
We did marriage equality. That's enough for now.
We're done.
Yeah. There's a lot of work to do.
There's lived experiences that are still happening, and we have to keep our ears open.
I want to talk about you going to Paris as a teenager.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that is a daunting thing to do. What was that like? And was that the beginning of your success, would you say?
A part of it was. A part of it happened here in RTE, honestly. I was working in RTE as a hairstylist for some of the presenters before I left. Learned a lot. I was working with Grani Shoga. Grani Shoga taught me some of the... She taught me the kind of work ethos that I wanted to be able to adapt for myself, which is extremely professional and kind. I took that and I brought that around the world. She pride of being Irish. Going to Paris, I think I moved to Paris when I was 16 or 17. I didn't speak any French. I didn't know anybody. I just sold all my stuff to my dad. My dad, I think, just felt bad. So he just bought my car, bought my TV, bought my everything. And I moved to Paris with a couple of hundred euro and didn't have an agent or anything. Just walked into an agency and said, please hire me. And they did. But it was extremely lonely because I didn't know anybody. But it prepared me for a lot. It left me as a teenager with myself, you know, and I had to make those decisions. I had to figure out how to survive. And I was able to go from Paris, which is a very exclusive place, to move to New York, which is a very inclusive place. But I'd already learned all of the hard lessons in Paris, and I was able to just go to New York at 21 and just experience like a roller coaster.
And then you end up on the West Coast and doing people like the Kardashians. I have to ask the question, I hate doing it to you, but everybody keeps asking, what are they like? Really? What does the house smell like? How do you do that little
Okay, I'll tell you what the house smells like. This is all rich. Smells rich.
Smells of money.
Yeah,
yes,
it really does.
I thought that.
It really does. Honestly, I only work with people, my job, my day-to-day job is my lived experience, it's my life, so I only work with people who I'm comfortable with, who make me happy, who are kind, first and foremost. My clients in LA are beyond professional, we're all doing a job,
sure.
We can do it and have fun. When we're getting ready in the morning, whether it's for a day of filming or for Met Gala or whatever, we're just like laughing and having the crack. And I'm very lucky to work with the people that I work with.
Do you feel immense pressure when, you know, the world has eyes on you? Like if you're doing something like for the Met Gala or something like that, do you still get nervous, or are you at the point in your career where you're like, I got this, I can't mess this up, I didn't use the wrong spray, I'm all good?
I don't put that pressure on myself. I think I used to a lot, and I realized that it didn't get me anywhere. It actually just made me feel insecure. So I just stopped doing it. So now I just try to do my best. And there has to be a point where you just let something go out into the world. Generally, when you're doing red carpet, you do the hair, makeup, and then they go off. They go in the car. They could be scratching their hair and a big... anything could happen. Not my problem. I do, the insurance policy is like, I'm gonna, you know, when you rent a car, I'm gonna start taking photos of the hair. Like this is the way it was when you left. So no guarantees after that, you know. No, but generally my insurance policy are the right products. Obviously, that's the key to a lot of hairstyles that I do. I'm not really worried about it.
And now, how proud are you seeing your products in Boots? Is that a big thing for you?
It's a huge thing for me. Obviously, myself and my mom took a giant gamble 22 years ago, and I have traveled all around the world by myself, just hustling and trying to survive and trying to do my thing. And to come back home and to be able to like bring, I have a friend, Nico, here from LA, and go into Boots with my mom and see my display and see my family name, and see all of the fruits of all of the hard work and sacrifices that I've made over the years. It's actually a very emotional experience. But it's also it's amazing fun. I'm having the most fun I've ever had in my life.
You're deadly. You're absolutely amazing. Come here. Does your ma ever do the Irish mammy thing and go, that thing came more at the Met Gala 2 years ago? Would you have a word? That was desperate.
Do you know what? If what my mom said to me ever got out, I'm like, Aileen, you can't have this many opinions about things. Like, you just can't. Like, please stop. She's like, yeah. Well, what was that? That's like, was that a dress or was that? I was like, yes, it was a dress. You don't have to understand. Do you know what, Mom? Just chill.
Oh, God.
But she's like, but it's mostly like, oh, her hair was lovely.
Yeah,
now.
And like it's
never
mammy.
The same when you don't do it. Like, she, you know, it's very that.
I love it. Well, listen.
She's my supporter. Yeah,
she,
sure.
I'd say she is so, so proud. Mm. And absolutely, her shoulders can relax a little bit more now when she agreed that you could leave school at 13, because that was the best decision. You're an inspiration. You're absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Andrew, for coming in. Andrew Fitzsimons, hairdresser to the stars, and people can find your stuff. Well, it's in Boots at the moment.
It's in Boots, yeah, and, in Ireland.
And also it's online, andrewfitzsimons.com.
Yep.
You can find stuff there.
Yep.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.